Jeff. That's Tim in the South Park style hat there, and that's Dustin in the black baseball cap.
Hey, man.
Honored to know you.
And honored to meet you. All three of us, I'm sure, are immensely jealous of what you have behind you. I read the, Rodney Ho sent me the article when he wrote it.
Oh, cool.
And he's like, dude, you're going to love this. Check it out. And he was right. That is so cool.
We grew up in LA and we didn't have basements. So when we found ourselves with a house on the East Coast, it was a piece of square footage that I had to do something fun with. And it took me about a year to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And initially the idea was going to be like, you know, haunted mansion type room, like ambiance and whatnot. But it just didn't sit right.
Right.
Once the video store idea hit me, I'm like, oh, that's such a badass idea. I have to do it. So some people have disagreed and said it's the stupidest idea in the world, but you know what? Hey, it's my basement.
It's a great idea.
Tell us a little bit about like what you do, what your actual job title is, and how you got to Atlanta, if you don't mind.
So I work with South Park. I do lipstick animation. So I'll animate the mouths of every character, even the Canadians and the critters. And then after we have our fingerprints on it, it goes to animation and they make a move. It's a bit of a kind of a factory assembly animation, you know, program, because we have to do it in 6 days. Although the pandemic has stretched out the remote working a bit. We found ourselves in Atlanta because my sister-in-law, her husband moved out here early in 2014 because he realized all the productions from Hollywood were in Atlanta, and he started a visual effects company. So we would come out here and visit, and we realized, you know, you get a lot for your money. The people are nice. The food's fantastic. Wanted to raise a family with like a, you know, little cul-de-sac and a charming little Southern town, but with a Costco,
right? Right.
You know, all the spoils. And so we took the plunge about four and a half, five years ago. Well, what was it? 2016, we dipped our toes in Atlanta for the summer. 2017, we made the move.
Do you work for Matt and Trey or do you work for Comedy Central?
Well, I guess both, because we're all just enveloped. I mean, it's Viacom if you really want to slice it down. But now that we're working remotely, we're all distance, but you know, we have Zoom meetings and whatnot, but everything was done in-house. So yeah, the creators would be there, and it was just cool to see like just the, from conception to the production to air, very close to, you know, the cats, the boys, as we call them.
They did what was the name of the documentary they did shortly after the 2008
6 days to air or something?
6 days to air. Yeah. You'll see me in this cheesy hat, like or the likes of, doing some lip sync or whatever. If you blink, you'd miss me. But
I remember, I don't know if they talked about it in that or it might have been in another thing, another video extra I saw. But initially, when they did the first episode, was that the only one they did with construction paper where they had the little mouths and they had to move them around?
Yeah, in terms of the official show, yes. The shorts prior to that were also construction paper.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it took them a month to do that. And they said, this ain't working. So, yeah, they figured it out. And thank God.
What stage did you come into the production?
I think August of 97, they first aired. And I was October of 2003. So I was season 7.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and now they're at season 450, so, yeah. Which is crazy. But yeah,
it's so
season
strange. 25. So strange that show has been on 7 years, less than The Simpsons, but it seems like there's just so many episodes and so many seasons, and right up there, if not, I think I like South Park better than The Simpsons. It's my favorite. It's the show that I look forward to every time there's something new. I gobble it up. And
nice.
I'll do it on purpose. I want to watch one episode. Like the other night, I wanted to watch some of the Christmas episodes. I haven't, you know, seen them in a long time. So I watched a couple of them. I watched one with our son who just turned 7 months old.
And oh, God bless.
Thank you. He didn't understand a lot of it, but you watch one and you watch two and it's like, all right, well, I watched the Christmas ones. Now I'm going to watch 7 or 8 others. And you just, it happens to me that way. And I still laugh and I still love them. But I remember the first, before you could get anything viral, you were still getting videotapes of things, or you had to wait online for 2 days to download this little file of these guys doing it was the first animated thing that they did. And it was said, I have this on VHS and I'm so ha ha ha, you know, these are the guys that did South Park. But it's just such a cultural phenomenon. And I'm loving the fact that it's still on the air. So I hope it continues to go. The movies have been great. I can't wait for a new season.
Right on. Oh. Right on.
After all that preamble, any new seasons coming soon?
We'll probably be working in 2022.
That's all I know.
Nothing's officially announced until it's announced, right. But we're ready. So, yeah.
So let's talk about the coolest basement/video store in the entire state of Georgia. I'm going to have to say it's the coolest basement in Georgia, but you have 6,000 VHS tapes. Is that what it is?
Give or take, displayed. Yes. Yes. But then I got another couple thousand in, I have a area in the basement that's unfinished. It's kind of the overflow catch all.
Right.
And so what I'll do is I'll kind of half curate each section. So I always have new choices. Since the Rodney Ho article came out, I've been contacted by a couple of people, and thank God. They're like, this one lady's like, I've got 500 sealed VHS tapes. Would you like them? I'm like, yes, please.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And so people have reached out, and they kind of look at it as like a place their VHS can die and go to heaven, I guess. Yeah. So I'll take that.
You only take ones that have the box though, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, unless it's like a really rare.
Do you have any copies of Chud?
I do. I have Chud and Chud 2, Bud the Chud.
Chud. See, we had a video store in our town. And, well, just tell them what it was called, Jeff.
It was called the Movie Store.
Movie Store. We're from a little town in Pennsylvania, and these New Yorkers moved to our town, a retired cop, and he and his wife opened a video store, and it was called the Movie Store. And, we go in there, wander around. It's very small at first. And I think it was Jeff or somebody said, hey, we should get Chud. And the guy behind the counter went, Chud is out.
he was very serious about that.
Yes. Because
it was popular at the time, right?
Yeah. Right. I think this was like 45 years ago, 40 years ago. And that guy now writes for SVU, right? Law and Order SVU.
He's written stuff for all the That's Law awesome. And Order franchises.
You know, it's funny. I remember seeing the trailer for Chud as a kid. I was probably 7 because I think he came out in 84.
Mm-hmm.
And the trailer is basically a shot of a New York City street at night and a wealthy woman's walking her poodle or whatever. And then the manhole pops open and grabs her and she's doomed.
Oh yeah. Okay?
But she drags the dog with her. And that really upset me as a kid. I'm like, let it go. Yeah. Nothing we can do for you. So, but it really enamored me nonetheless, especially the fact that it's like a cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. I'm like, wow, yeah. How clever is that?
That's a great name. That came out. The one movie I liked before that reminded me of Chud was Humanoids from the Deep.
Yep, Roger Corman.
Yeah, I love that.
That was great.
On HBO constantly, and you know, it'd stay up. Mom didn't pay any attention.
Yeah, it's a super rapey movie.
Yeah,
and it's directed by a woman, but I understand. The movie's super fun and cult, but I understand that afterward, Corman's like, we need to throw in a few more rapey scenes up in here. And she was a little none too pleased after seeing the final cut, but I think she did a hell of a job. So Humanoids from the Deep. So
I'm a big fan of that movie Night Patrol. I think it's 1985 that came out with Pat Paulson and Murray. It was his last name, the unknown comic, Murray Langston. And I was surprised. I was trying to see who was still around that we could interview for the show. And I didn't know that it was directed by a woman, and you wouldn't think that a woman would have directed that film. You know what I'm talking about, that film?
I don't think I've seen Night Patrol.
Yeah.
You got to see that one.
You got to see that. Billy Barty is the chief of police.
You know, that's awesome.
Yeah. And Linda Blair plays a lady whose name is Sue Perman. And that's part of the joke. Her name is, what's the matter, Sue Perman? Do my words make you weak? Also, but it's every late 70s, early 80s movie trope in it. Andrew Dice Clay's in it. J.P. Morgo. I mean, a lot of people.
Pat Morita.
Pat Morita. Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, speaking of rape, he gets raped in a park.
It's incredible.
It's an unknown comic as a cop, and he moonlights as a comedian, and that's your premise for the film.
He probably doesn't even know who the unknown comic is, though, because the Gong Show is before his time.
No, I grew up without cable, so I watched a lot of syndicated television.
Mm-hmm.
So wasn't that Chuck Barrett? No, Chuck
Ferris did the Gong Show.
Yeah,
we used to watch it, and I thought it was awesome.
I'm a nostalgic person. I have a bunch of videotapes I've been dragging around with me like luggage for 25 years. So I'm going to go through them and see if there's any you want, you can have.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, hey, if you're looking for a home, it's so weird. Like, I feel like some type of weird chemist, but I'm anything but. Like, I've got these dehumidifier settings that have to be just right, you know, yeah, for the climate controlled basement, because I don't want any mold to catch. So I feel like I'm like really trying to preserve these as if they're going to be gone one day, and they will. Actually, Goodwill like destroys them. Some Goodwills don't even sell them anymore. When they get them, they crush them. And I'm like, well, at least sell them or do something. Yeah. Do something, employees.
We're like a no-kill shelter for the abandoned VHS tapes.
For sure. You had mentioned you didn't know that Night Patrol was directed by a woman. It's funny because I speak with some, you know, filmmakers today, and God bless them for, you know, moving forward and trying to get, you know, more filmmakers seen and whatnot. But there's a lot of female filmmakers in the 80s and 90s that, you know, I was talking to this one gal. She's like, oh, I do woke horror. And I'm like, well, tell me more about that. And she's like, well, I want to make sure women can direct. I'm like, well, we started talking, and I don't want to digress too much, but I'm like, well, you know, the 80s and 90s, they were kicking ass. And I started rattling off a bunch of names, and she got cross-eyed. She had never heard of these gals.
Yeah. Yeah.
The indie scene, especially straight, the home video scene, was huge for giving directors a shot. And it's unfortunate that today, in my experience, I'm finding a lot of people think it's like a new concept to have a female director. It's like,
yeah,
where you been? Yeah, you know. So when you had mentioned Night Patrol was directed by a lady, I was not surprised by the least. So anyway.
If you look back at the 80s, the two biggest, arguably the two biggest science fiction and fantasy characters are Sarah Connor and Ripley. And yeah, so I mean, it's been around a long time. It's just like you said, it's now people are going, I want to make this. I'm like, okay, but it's been out. But again, yeah, that's a digression. I'm not knocking
100%. I just wanted to make, you know, make a, I'm surrounded by movies.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to see what has come before me. And, you know, during my, you know, time as a kid and a teen,
mm-hmm,
there's a lot of filmmakers out there. So
did you watch that last Blockbuster documentary? That was
I did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I try not to be that curmudgeon because Blockbuster killed all my favorite video stores.
Right.
And I did adapt to it because that's all that was around to rent from. You know, it was enjoyable.
Do you have the batwing doors that lead into the special area that Jeff would like to take a look at?
Yes. I do.
He does.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. What's in there? Does it have the, what you would think is in there?
There's some privacy in there. Anytime you want to come out here and, you know, hang out.
Do you have those gigantic boxes that you, yeah, because all the other movies were little, but the X-rated movies in the 80s and 90s were these giant boxes.
Well, that, so they wouldn't be shoplifted.
Yeah.
There was, and they wanted to stand out like, hey, larger than life. But
yeah,
horror movies started doing that too. They put their film in a big box. So when you see a big box horror movie next to a little slipcase,
yeah,
you're kind of going to go for the big box. It's like, wow, look what I get for my $2.
Now, do you keep your eye out for those special boxes? Those ones that you could get, like, what was it, The Gate? Or one of them had the light up eyes on the box that, you know, you squeeze the button.
I think that's the Dead Pit.
Dead Pit. Yep.
Yeah. That's a tricky one to come by. Also, Frankenhooker. It's a talking box. Mm-hmm. Want a date? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I look for those, and there's actually a YouTube tutorial on how to repair them if you get one, in terms of swapping out the battery and trying not to compromise the cover art, which I think is great. Awesome. So I don't have any of those, but I do have a kick ass, and I should probably grab it. Black Roses embossed slipcase. Do you remember that movie at all?
I remember seeing the video cover, but I'd never seen the film.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That is so cool. Yeah,
it's super raised, as you can see. It's probably one of the cleanest versions I've seen, that's which thrills me to no end.
Yeah, look at that.
So yeah, Black Roses. And the movie's pretty all right too. So
what genre of film do you have the most of?
Horror, but mm-hmm, I have a lot of comedy. I think comedy is probably next. And horror is my favorite like aesthetic genre, but I think comedy is like core to me as a human being.
Right.
So yeah, horror and comedy are my two favorites, I would say.
What kind of late fees are you charging over there?
Yeah.
Well, I have zero customers since the pandemic, so I haven't worked that out yet. But being that it's in my house, you know, having people like trek through, I don't know if my lady would like that.
So what was the concept for, you know, you have the video store in your basement. Do you need looking to bring people in, or are you looking to have it more as a museum type?
You know, I mean, I could almost bore you as to the many reasons why I built it. One was I wanted to start a project and prove to myself I could finish it, you know, like a big one. And I wanted to treat it as if it was a movie set, kind of art installation. So I wanted it to be like any friend or whoever comes by. I wanted them to like have like an experience. But I also wanted this for myself. You know, I wanted my kids to also know what a video store is, because
right. They're
not around right now. Hopefully it's not lost on them, you know, because when you grow up around something, you just kind of like, whatever. In terms of what I want to do with this, I actually wrote a season of a sketch comedy pilot that takes place in a video store. So the idea is to start shooting some of that in 22.
You have the set right there.
I got the set. Yeah. And that's the fun part, because like nobody can say no. And we can shoot at any time, more or less. But, you know, I'm probably just going to start releasing like really short bursts on Instagram, just like some fun sketch stuff, and then try to take it from there. But I got some really like weird concepts that I'm trying to like infuse with it. So I'll just leave it at that. But it's worth exploring, you know.
Point everybody to your Instagram and your YouTube and your socials.
@Mondo_video on Instagram. That's probably the biggest page. I've been doing it since 2018 as I was building it. But it's funny because all the shots, it shows me like holding a, you know, videotape that I'm excited about, but I blurred out the background because I was still working on the shop. So, which is like really super annoying, like to try to always do that, almost 3.5 years. And then I finally revealed it. Now I can just like let it breathe. In terms of the frame of the camera, Facebook is just Mondo Video. And then in terms of YouTube, it's Antone Capone, which is what the mob boss at the Italian restaurant used to call me when I was 15. I was a busboy.
Nice. So,
shout out to Uncle Mike.
I have a bunch of video discs, not laser discs.
CEDs?
The discs, the big, the RCA that you put in the machine and you had to flip over if the movie was too long.
I have a player, actually, yeah.
I have one in my car. I haven't hooked it up yet, but I don't have any reason to. Unless I want to watch Rocky III, Jeremiah Johnson, or Little Big Man.
Nice.
Which are all three fantastic films, but I can just stream them. When do you think we could come out there and take a look at it?
Anytime. I mean, are you local to Georgia?
Yeah. I live in Vinings. No, I don't. I live
in Tucker. I live like Riverside area.
Oh man, anytime. Are you kidding me? I for some reason it didn't like, you know, come into my head, because everybody's like so everywhere across the states when I zoom out. So to find out you're local. Hello. And yeah, you mentioned Rodney Ho, so I should have like, this should have been the tip. Honestly, whatever works for you, because I know we all have different schedules. And I want to give a shout out. Bro, your mute game is so good up there, dude. Your mute game is solid, bro. Yeah, you got it down.
I'm on it.
Yeah, it's a talent, believe me. We'll make it work. Anytime you want to come on by and hang out, have a couple cocktails, or, you know, just hors d'oeuvres, whatever, you know, floats your boat. And you can check out the shop.
Before we get going, there's a couple things I wanted to ask you about. Now, your father was a co-creator of Teddy Ruxpin. Is that true?
He was. He is. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's a weird story. So in 1963, he was watching daytime television, was kind of bummed at some of the stuff they offered kids. And so his idea was he wanted to have some kind of puppet show initially that they could turn into a toy to market. So he connected with his friend Ken Forsey.
Mm-hmm.
And they formed a production company called Brown Squirrel Productions, because at the time they were having this meeting, a brown squirrel went by and they're like, that's perfect. They hired a writer named Bud Banks, I believe. And Ken Forsey was a fabricator, by the way. So he would make all sorts of, you know, animatronic stuff and this and this and that. So together, the two of them plus the writer came up with The Adventures of Simeon Greep, I believe, which turned into Teddy Ruxpin. It's funny because I have a bunch of like, prototype sketches here from like the 60s that are like holy grail to me.
Wow.
But it took 20 years to get off the ground. My dad ultimately sold the rights in 84, And I remember I saw the amount that he had received. I was a 7-year-old, and it looked like a pretty good amount of money. Mm-hmm. But his rationale was, you know, he had a mortgage, he was a struggling inventor, so on and so forth. Been trying to make a payday like for a while, and this was a good payday.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the payday. The payday was in 1985, Worlds of Wonder picked it up. It was under every Christmas tree, more or less. And the rest is history. And Ken Forsey was the one who picked up the rights and then sold it to Worlds of Wonder.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So did you ever watch The Venture Brothers?
A little bit, yeah.
And the Teddy Talk to Me doll. If you get a chance to look into that, that's always reminds me. I'm obsessed with that show, so I've seen it 100 times, and that's the first thing that comes to mind is how they used it, and it's an homage to 60s, 70s, and 80s stuff. Anything Gen X or maybe a little bit before, and some millennial generation stuff.
Well, I'm a huge Goonies fan. I've had a lot of people say over the years, like, you should check out Venture Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's some kind of parallel. I imagine there might be kinda.
Tons okay. From everything they cool. Brought from everything.
Right on.
Yeah, and what was the other thing? It had to do with Ike.
The voice of Ike is your nephew's, right?
excuse me. Where was my mute game on that one? my nephew Nico, I think he may have done the voice of Ike mm-hmm. here and there, but my niece did the voice of Ike also. Okay. If you're ever watching the movie South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut, and it's the scene where the kids ask Chef, what's a way to a girl's heart? He goes, oh, you got to find the clitoris. Behind him is a real photograph of a kid eating peas. It says, eat your peas. That's my nephew, Nico.
Oh, that's cool.
Who's now not a little kid anymore. He's like 25. So they interchanged, traded off doing the voice. And over the years, they would get staff kids to do the voice of Ike.
And I guess my last question, I know these guys probably have some more, but you're related to Gene Autry, which is also awesome.
Yeah. So growing up, I always heard that. And, you know, I always appreciated his work and his music, of course, especially the Christmas music. And then I actually, when I was 21, I lived in Michigan for a year, found myself in Texas for a few years. And there was a family reunion in Tioga, Texas. So I went there. It was my mom's side of the family. And I went there. And it was her side of the family and the Autrys. And so the Autrys are from that, you know, region or whatnot. So I got to meet a handful. It was pretty cool. And yeah. I understand at one point I probably would have thought this was incredibly awesome. Now I'm not so sure. But apparently Dennis Quaid and Randy Quaid are related to Gene Autry.
Oh, wow.
I'll take Dennis. No disrespect to Randy. Yeah. Randy's done some fine work in his years. Hope he's doing well in the world. But yeah, so apparently they're related to him too.
He's done some interesting films and done some interesting characters. Other than that, I follow him on Twitter just because it's like watching a car crash.
You're kidding me.
Oh, no, it's funny to me to watch him. Well, he's not as active as he was
a couple years ago. Yeah.
Well, that whole Star Chaser thing, I mean, I don't know.
Well, he put a Rupert Murdoch mask on his wife and had sex with her and then put it out on Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah.
My genes, apparently. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
It's a far cry from the classic horror film Parents.
Oh, God bless. Yeah, I got that in the culinary horror section, which is right through that door in there.
Next to eating Raul, I hope.
Oh, my gosh, bro. Can I? Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to go mobile.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I want to make you proud, sir. Culinary horror. So this is the carnivore diet, you know, the meat eaters, basically. All right, now we got Parents, as you can see. What do we got here? All right, just want to make you proud, sir.
That is some awesome stuff. I don't love you anymore. You eat people.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I wanted to keep going in terms of the video store, because initially it was just this main room. And then I kept creeping the build into other rooms because as tough as it was, I did have fun and it was kind of enjoyable to make themes out of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe kind of that Disneyland vibe I kind of wanted, but couldn't get. So I don't know.
I love that there are enough films to do cannibalistic horror.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's I got the carnivore diet section, the liquid diet section, vampires, of course,
right.
The GMO section, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. you know, I'm really reaching, you know, when I found, because I was looking for food related area tapes for the comfort food section, when I found What's Eating Gilbert Grape, I'm like, sweet. Cause at this point I'm just looking for shelf space.
Right.
Because you know, after a while you're like, okay, Nuts with Barbara Streisand. Perfect.
Delicatessen. Yeah.
Oh, I need to, it's actually my eBay cart. I don't have it yet.
That's a good one.
Now, do you prefer Tony or Anthony?
Anthony, but you know, I'll answer to whatever.
I want to say it the proper way. Anthony, I appreciate you coming on. We're all over the place. That's why we call it Labyrinth. We don't follow any, you know, linear form. So I appreciate that. And, you know, our brains all work that way. And if I were allowed to, I would have all sorts of shit on the back here, but I just have a picture of John Lennon. Would love to come out there and meet you and do a and like a walkthrough and look at some of the movies sometime, if that's possible.
Anytime. And maybe we'll have Rodney Hill come out here again. Yeah. Just all kick it.
I love Rodney. He's a great guy. We could even have him on. So
it'd be great.
I love it. Yeah. There you go. It's a plan.
You guys have any more questions?
If there's any South Park characters that you don't like doing the mouths for, like Scott Malcolmson or
ones that give you problems.
Canadians
you don't like because of the heads.
They're very tedious. And it's funny because I had somebody, I guess I made a comment like, oh, it's a Canadian episode, it's gonna be really daunting. And somebody's like, dude, they just go like this. It's like the easiest thing in the world, bro. I'm like, I wish that was the case. Because Trey's like, I've been to Canada and I know how they speak. And there's a certain way that he wants it.
Right.
And damn it, that's what we got to deliver, and that's what we do. But it's a bit tedious. But there's nothing more gratifying than finishing the work and watching. Like, I think it was season 7 that I first joined up, and we finished it with Christmas in Canada, which was like a huge experience for me. It was almost like just like the water's warm, dive in, right? And it almost killed me. But once I watched it, I was so proud of the episode because it was so difficult to produce, at least what I added to it.
Right.
I would have to say Canadians are the trickiest and the most tedious. Yeah.
Anthony, thank you so much for coming on our show and talking to us about your awesome basement and your career. And hopefully we'll be able to come out there and meet up with you and talk to you again.
Sounds good. Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Rad. Very cool. Thank you again. Try again.